This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning, this episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
I'm waiting for this laugh to come out. Come on now.
Just cut loose, Jen.
Oh.
Don't whine, though. Want some cheese with that wine?
You know, I actually said that to one of the deputies out on the road. He was pissing and moaning about something. And I said, what kind of wine is that? Or I said, is that white or red or something like that? And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, I'm trying to figure out what kind of wine that is.
Nice.
Yeah. There we go. You can pull the mic down closer to you. However, I mean, how do you do it in dispatch?
You don't need a mic. Yeah.
The mic's actually pretty far away from us in dispatch. Right,
it's true.
Do it again, peeps.
What up, yo?
Just so that I know that this is working right, do like a mic check. Do a five count. Well done. Good evening. This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 108 of Within the Trenches. Now, I am currently recording live within the Crown Plaza in Lansing, Michigan. We're here for Michiganina, and this is the first time I've recorded in about 3 years. When I was here last time I spoke, I also debuted pretty much the podcast to everybody, and I got a lot of good episodes. And from that start, I ended up getting pushed to the national conference in Charlotte, and the rest is history. It's been badass ever since. A lot of good things going on, but today I have some guests of mine, and even though a couple of them have said they're not going to talk, we're going to have to pull them in somehow.
Oh yeah,
because these are they're dispatchers that I can say that I worked with them. Like, oh, but because we talked over the phone.
Right.
Neighboring county. So I have Greg, Mike, and Jennifer from Van Buren County. How's it going?
Fantastic.
Woohoo! Oh, right. She got in there.
Yeah.
Did Mike say anything?
Nope.
No.
He did now.
Lean in.
So, how long have you guys been working for Van? Has it just been Van Buren? Because earlier today we were in the ceremony, and it was the Heroes Luncheon, and they had everybody stand up, and we were, you know, they were going down by however many years, and once they hit a certain number, you had to sit down. So you guys were at what number was it?
We sat down. Oh, I sat down a lot earlier than you did.
22 for me.
22.
Yeah, I got 22 years of Van Buren.
Damn. Okay, so that you guys, it's been straight Van Buren the entire time.
I was at South Haven for 6 years first. That's where I started.
Nice. And then you guys gobbled up South Haven, right? Something like that.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I actually started at Cass County.
Oh, really?
2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to South Haven also, and then got absorbed by Van Buren.
Nice. See, when I started out in Florida, and it was just a small PSAP. And it was one dispatcher on for 8 hours. There wasn't a lot of traffic going on and stuff, but when it actually hit the fan, it hit the fan. Yeah. And usually it was because somebody didn't want to pay their car bill. So we would get a phone
electric
call.
Electric bill.
Yeah. South Haven
was the worst.
We were by ourselves for 12 hours.
Yep.
Oh. And electric power outages. Oh, those were fun.
Man.
Cutoff days. Or electric.
You get a lot of pissed off people calling
They're
in.
Irate. The worst customers ever in this industry to ever deal with are people
it
have their power cut off.
Because they didn't pay their bill.
Right.
Why would they call you guys though? What the hell can you do?
Because we call the pop. We take their cash.
Hours. Oh, are you
and
serious?
Call the power company.
No shit.
Yep.
That is crazy. Oh, we didn't do that in Florida. We did, we gave bike passes. We didn't cut anybody's power off.
Parking passes?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, they... It was crazy over there when I moved back home to Michigan, and then I started working for Allegan. The call volume was completely different. I mean, there was three to four of us on
at a time. And then that was 12 hours. And then all these calls are coming in. And I mean, I came in with experience, but not that kind of experience. So it was a little different jumping in there. Like, I thought you had experience. Like, I do have experience, but you guys, your call volume is crazy.
Right.
So do you remember any of your first calls that you'd ever taken?
First calls? I took a call from a lady one night who wanted to file a complaint because she opened a can of kidney beans. And when she opened the can, on the top was that snotty residue you often get in a can of beans. And she was convinced that it was an abortion or some kind of alien material. And she wanted to file a complaint. And we finally, you know, we brushed her aside and said, "Sorry, ma'am. Talk to the grocer or talk to the producer."
Right, exactly. I mean, what you guys can't do anything about it.
Right.
It's so stupid. Well, but that's like people calling in for like fireworks times,
right,
and parade times and stuff. And when I've been giving texting training and I show them how you can do pre-canned messages, the first message that I type out is "do not text to 911 for parade times." And because you know it's going to happen.
Oh, absolutely.
Somebody's going to text in and ask something stupid like that.
Oh, yeah, man. A couple of years back, I'd had enough of the fireworks calls.
Yeah.
Got a call. "What time are fireworks?" I said, "Noon." There's a pause.
There's that laugh.
There's a pause. And then the person that said, "Oh, that was a dumb question, wasn't it? Thank you."
Yeah. Sad trombone. Wah, wah. Yeah, I don't understand it, man. People call in for the craziest things.
Yeah.
You know, and you talking about that can of food. I took a domestic once where this guy, I think he was about 30 or 40, and his girlfriend was in her late 60s. And they lived in this trailer behind his friend's house. And he's saying that he needs help and stuff. I can hear her yelling in the background. And he goes, "She's getting into my spam." I'm like, "Excuse me?" He's like, "My spam." I said, "Do you like the food? Like the mystery meat?" And he's like, "Yeah." She's, and I hear her in the background yelling, "You don't eat that shit anyway. You don't eat it."
Nice.
Only in dispatch, man.
Uh-huh.
So your history, Greg, we were talking about this earlier because you've got this voice going on.
I do?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So you started out in radio, though, before jumping into 911, right?
Yes. I was in commercial radio for 7 years before jumping into, you know, public safety radio. Mm-hmm. I worked in Lansing, Houghton Lake, and Davenport, Iowa. Different formats, you know, and that was a lot of fun. When I came back to Michigan after being in Iowa, couldn't find jobs in radio. So I just kind of did odd jobs here and there. And then got a letter one day saying that the county was hiring dispatchers. And I kind of blew it off. And my wife said, "Why don't you try it?" I'm like, "Yeah, I guess I could."
Yeah.
So I tested, did quite well, got hired, gave my 2 weeks to my boss at my current job at the time. He says, "You sure you want to leave us?" I said, "You're going to give me a 50% raise?"
Yeah.
And of course, he said no. So right. I said, "We'll see ya."
I'm out.
Yes.
Dang.
And the rest is history.
So what was your training like then when you first started? I mean, what did it entail?
22 years ago, there was really... the training was not structured.
Mm-hmm.
I sat with senior dispatchers, and they showed me how to do things. They pointed out things to me, but no real structure. And then after a time, if they felt that I was ready to step up to the board, then I got to do that. And, you know,
just threw you to the lions, huh?
Yeah.
Damn.
And at that time, there was always two of us.
Yeah.
Sometimes three on a busy weekend. There was times when I was working afternoons and midnights that I would work alone from 3A to 7A.
What?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Yeah. That was a challenge, you know. But at that time, dispatch and the jail were close to each other. Mm-hmm. So if I had to run down the hall or do something, I'd just call one of the corrections officers to come sit in there for 5-10 minutes for me.
You had to call Code Brown?
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, man. We used to use that on the radio all the time in Allegan. It was either Code Brown, 10-1, or 10-2, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if anybody ever said 10-3, we're like, oh, okay, wow. Then. Yeah, we got some issues going on. There were a couple times, though, that I was on radios, and I don't know, maybe it's just that the sergeants knew that I was ballsy enough to do it, or just I didn't give a shit or whatever. Right. And they would call up and they say, ask for so-and-so, just give them a status check. I'm like, okay. Central to K-9-1 status. Good status, Central, but you can hear an echo.
Right.
I'm like, oh, he's in the shitter.
Yeah.
Probably
about, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, we had a trooper that was working day shift. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we had open mic. And we hear what sounds like a gun belt dropping and zipper sound and the echoing noise. And all of a sudden, you hear like this trickle of water. And we're like, what the hell? And at that time, we had no AVL, so we had no idea who it was.
Right.
So then you hear a toilet flush. So we're just, you know, using our car list and looking, and we thought, well, let's have this person give us a call. So I said, you know, 5135, give us a TX. So she calls in. We said, what were you just doing? I was at home going to the bathroom. Why? You had an open mic.
Oh, man. That's the best. And what was the reaction?
She was like, so oh my embarrassed. God. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That's crazy. When I was in training, there was a guy that his team that I worked on, I was sitting on lean and he was on main radios and he had a wireless headset on. And, you know, you can key up while you're on it. And he would get up to go to the bathroom and he'd say, Ricardo, can you watch one? I was like, yeah, sure. And like right before he's walking into the bathroom, somebody would key up and I would go to do it and he would click on it and just say 10-4. Like, dude, what the hell are you doing? I thought you wanted me to cover you. And like, don't do that in the bathroom. I don't want to hear that shit.
Literally.
I'm like, that stuff's going to get bad. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to hear you dropping heat. I'm waiting for that laugh to get real, like, you know, prominent. Like,
maybe. Got to entertain me.
Well, I'm trying to pull out all the... Okay. How about you tell me a story? Nah. How did you start a 911?
There was a job opening.
That was it?
That was it. I had no...
No prior experience?
Path, no prior experience, nothing. Just was a job opening. I applied and they took me. Oh. Passed the test and...
What was your hiring process like?
Basically, it was a spelling test.
What?
Yeah.
A spelling test.
Yep, that was it.
Did you have to stand in front of the director and assistant director and they're like, okay, spell this.
There was a written test.
Wow.
Written spelling test. That was the only.
And that was it. Was there a background check?
I imagine there was.
Take your fingerprints and stuff?
Yes.
Yeah,
as far as I know, I've never been convicted of a crime. So.
Oh, well, it's because you blacked out because you didn't remember. You just didn't get caught.
You're young yet.
Yeah. The other day I was with, I helped do Boy Scouts. I'm an assistant scout master, which I don't know shit about scouting, but my son is in it and they asked and I was like, yeah, of course I'll do it. I don't really know a lot, but so I helped them out and stuff. So this past Wednesday, we were doing something and I say this because of the fingerprints that I asked you and, they're going to start going to, well, in next month, I think it is, they're going to do their summer scout camp. And they were saying that we need to do fingerprinting and stuff there. And I said, oh, I've got my fingerprints on file. And my 12-year-old looks at me and he goes, what? Why? And I said, buddy, remember I worked in dispatch? And he goes, oh, I was like, what the hell? I didn't say what the hell, but right. In my head I was thinking, what the hell? But I did ask him, I was like, did you think that I went to jail or something? And he goes, well, I don't know. He goes, mom always says that, you know, you have to run your stories through her before you tell us kids. So, because I led a crazy early life, I guess, from what she thinks. But yeah, so I guess he thought I had been to jail or something. I was like, no, dude. I was like, I worked in dispatch. They had to take my fingerprints. That's why they're on file. He's like, oh, okay. It was like he was still a little suspicious, though.
Right, right. Yeah.
Oh, man. And, you know, my hiring process, one of the ones I did, the first part of it was it was a typing test. And you could only get 3 errors on your typing test. And you had to do like 20 words per minute. And I'm just typing away and everything going really fast. And then I had made like 2 mistakes. And I was like, well, if I just point and, you know, hunt and pack it,
Right.
I'll be able to get through it and it'll be fine. I'll make sure that I don't make any mistakes. Well, then the second level of that was there was about 25 of us in a room, and they played some radio traffic over the intercom. And it was, one of those officers that's just like mumbling like crazy. And I remember because I had been in dispatch already, I was just writing shit down, and people, I could hear other people saying, I don't understand this. How are we supposed to know what they're saying? And I'm like, right. I can get it. But then after that, the last phase of it was like this 3-hour, 6-person panel interview. Okay. And it was myself on one side of the table and then the panel on the other side. And one person is throwing out, a question. And as I go to answer it, each one of them are like throwing other things out there. And it was like that for that entire time. Hmm. It was intense.
Yeah, see, when I got hired, the testing was similar. Mm-hmm. We had to listen to a radio traffic and write down notes and then answer questions based on what you heard. There was some matching, flipping cards over and trying to find the matches. But my interview was basically sitting down with a sheriff and undersheriff. That was it.
Nice.
And we talked for half an hour, and they offered the job to me right then and there.
Damn, look at you. Yeah. Huh. Mike?
Yes.
How did you get your start?
I was spilling the beer.
Almost
already.
Almost fumbled. Fumble liar.
Party foul.
I was actually going to college, but I was on the local fire department there in South Haven, and the dispatch center was in the same building with the fire department. So I kind of knew some of the dispatchers, mm-hmm. and was going to, still going to college for some stuff. And then they had an opening there. And I'm like, what the heck? I'll try for it. So I go through the whole process, which was similar to what Greg said with the testing and the oral board. We actually had an oral board there. And I started that and went through that process and got selected. And I was there for 6 years.
Do you think it was a lot easier coming into dispatch knowing the other side as well, like being out in the field?
Yeah, I think definitely helps having some kind of knowledge there. It's not foreign and it's different, but yeah, it's...
Did you get to sit in dispatch at all?
Yeah, we did.
With some people?
Yep.
Did all of you guys do kind of like a sit-in to get a feel for it first? Or
When I started at CAS, I did not do any kind of sit-in ride-along or anything like that. Mm-hmm. When I did South Haven, I did have fire experience there too, but I never did a ride-along per se either.
See, after our testing, the top potential candidates sat. I mean, I think I sat in dispatch for a couple of 4-hour shifts just to see what they did and get a feel for it.
They make them do that now.
Yeah.
They make them sit.
But I've been a firefighter for almost 25 years as well, so I have that background.
Oh, so the both of you still do that?
Nope, yeah, I'm not at the fire department anymore.
I do.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. So,
yeah. And I have my wife's a firefighter, my oldest daughter's a firefighter, and my youngest is a fire cadet.
Dang, man.
Yeah.
Spreading that franchise.
They all got the bug.
Yeah.
And my oldest wants to be a PSO.
Very nice.
In fact, she's got an internship this summer working at Shays in South Haven.
Dang, man. This is awesome. I knew I was going to get you to talk. Both of you. That's right, because it's relaxed. We're just having a conversation, except we have headphones and a microphone. Yeah. Any calls that you can remember taking in the beginning, Jen?
Like traumatic calls or just
anything? Yeah, anything. Funny, happy, sad. Anything that you can, maybe something that you took and you're like, man, what am I doing? Or what am I doing here? Yeah. That I should.
The only thing I can think of is there is a specific character that we get calls on at
Vancouver. Ah, frequent flyers.
It's great too because
not necessarily for your flyer, just a celebrity.
Unique character.
Yeah, he's basically a local celebrity there in South Haven. And actually, when I was working in South Haven, when I started there, was when he was first starting his performance, you will. The local man, but he started mowing his lawn in a thong.
Interesting. And that's not where I thought you were going with that.
people start calling and then they took him to court for over the years. They've fought this guy and he knows exactly what's legal, and basically, the court said as long as you can't see his balls or his butthole, it's legal. So,
right. Oh, man.
So, basically, when you go by him, that's all you can't see.
Yep.
And so it's fun when we get new people that work there that haven't had that. They get those calls and they're like, or they're telling the people when they do call it, nope, Actually, right. That's a man because yeah. they think it's yeah. a lady.
Oh, at interesting. This point.
The first visitors to South Haven in May always call.
Yeah.
This guy's naked. No, he's not. He, yeah. knows, he knows the law. He knows where the line yeah, is. He's not naked.
He's wearing a banana hammock.
Yeah.
And he's
yeah.
fine.
Not exactly. even that.
People actually stop to take pictures with him.
Really?
Yeah.
So he's like, what's that guy?
Celebrity.
What's that guy's name in New York? His name, the Naked Cowboy? Yes. So he's like that?
Kind of.
But he looks like the guy from Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, okay, wait a minute. Which one?
Buffalo Bill.
Buffalo Bill.
Oh, no.
It puts the lotion on.
It puts the lotion on the skin.
I do oh. me.
Oh, man.
Oh, it's funny.
That song is gonna. It's in my head now.
Yeah. You know, we meet people all the time, and they always want to say, well, what's your best three calls or your worst three calls? Over the years, we just kind of compartmentalize that yeah. stuff. You know, I have certain ones that stick out. One of the worst was... I've been working at dispatch for maybe 3 years, and we had a young girl go missing in her backyard.
Yes.
Ended up drowned in the river that bordered her backyard.
Wow.
Well, the description of this child was 3-year-old female blonde hair.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, my oldest was 3-year-old female blonde hair.
Oh, geez.
So each time the news called to ask for details, and I had to say... 3-year-old female blonde hair, you know, I'm describing my daughter.
Holy crap.
That was a tough night.
Yeah. That's nuts. Yeah. I've had people ask a lot too. And even now, it's probably my own fault because they'll say, I'll go to get my hair cut and they'll say, you know, what do you do? I'm like, well, I'm a market manager for InDigital, and I'll say that stuff. And then I think it's because I say it all the time when doing a presentation that I say, but before that, for 13 years, I worked in dispatch, and they'll immediately jump in. It's like, oh, I bet you took like crazy calls. I'm like, yep, I did. Mm-hmm. So tell me your craziest.
Everybody wants to hear the craziest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, because humans are naturally curious.
Right.
But then when they hear that shit, then they're like, why did you tell me that?
Right.
Because I told one that, oh my God.
Which one is that?
Oh, you guys got pictures of this.
Right.
I'm going to call that person Bananimal. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah, and he even does
he has a video, too.
He does his driveway in the winter with the snowblower dressed like
that. Dressed like that? Good Lord, his skin looks like butterball turkey.
Mm-hmm. Don't insult the butterball.
Right.
Like the guy.
So, yeah. Oh, man. Bill. That is so bad. I don't even remember what I was going to say now.
He has that effect on everyone.
Oh, good Lord. The calls.
Yes.
So, yeah, they'll say, so what's your craziest call? And I think I've only done it once. I've said one of my craziest calls, and it had to do with a baby that had rolled off the bed and couldn't lift its head up. And it had landed into a basket of towels and couldn't lift his head up and ended up suffocating. And I told them, and they're just kind of standing there, and they're like, why did you tell me that? I'm like,
You asked.
Yeah, it's like, you asked. I'm not going to pussyfoot around.
Right.
There's no beating around the bush. If that's what you want to hear, if you want to be bloodthirsty, then let's do this.
And I think
be prepared to taste the blood.
Not only us, but as a whole, our industry is hardened.
Mm-hmm.
We look at things differently than anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you know, definitely.
We laugh at things that others think are horrible and... You know,
yeah. There's some newer people that work at the office where I work, and I've said a few things, and I see on their face like they're smiling and laughing, but you can tell.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you can tell they're like, "What the hell?"
Uh-huh.
Like, I don't know if I should laugh at that. And then I'll say, well, you know, what I used to do and stuff, and they're like, "Oh." I say, in this industry, you kind of need a dark humor to be able to get past it, or else you're going to dwell
absolutely.
On it. And it's going to eat you alive.
Right.
And they're like, oh, okay. And then they walk away.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, shit, what else do you
hear? People, friends, family will talk about some kind of tragedy that's going on in the family or life. And I'm like, happened 6 times this week, actually.
Right.
It's not
right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah.
It sucks when it happens to you, but it's really just life.
I had family members, or I've had family members in the past that would ask, so how's work going? They're like, oh, it's been actually kind of slow. And then they just kind of look at me and they're like, wait a minute. What? Isn't that a good thing? Because that means that nobody needs any help. I'm like, yeah, but I like to work. I want somebody to break their arm or something.
Right. House to burn.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right.
I'm like, I guess technically, yeah, it's good, but I mean, this is what I do.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And then they probably just think I'm crazy, but it's the way we are. And you're just sitting there smiling like, yeah, that is. You're just thinking about that person, that picture.
No, not at all. Just thinking about family. They just don't understand.
That is true.
They don't get the job.
Because I ended up working, we all know, we work so much in dispatch and stuff. At one point in Allegan, we were like extremely understaffed. Nobody got any time off, and we've got a force-in list. So if somebody called in and you're at the top, you're going to get forced in. But if you volunteer for it, you get put down at the bottom. Well, a coworker and I were doing that. We were volunteering for almost everything to get put down at the bottom. But it was so bad during that time that even when we walked in for what we volunteered for, we were getting forced in again. And wow. Because of that, my other family members, not my immediate family, but the other ones, you know, they would invite us to cookouts and birthday parties and everything. Like, how come you never come?
They get offended,
like,
when yeah, you don't show up.
Exactly. Yeah. They would get offended and stuff. I'm like, I'm working a lot. Like, you can't work that much. Like, no, I'm seriously, I work a lot. And then after a little while, it's just, we didn't get invited anymore. Yeah. We would see the pictures on Facebook later on. I was like, what the hell? They didn't even invite us. I was like, that's messed up. But, well, shit. What are you going to do?
Right.
So how is everything going in Van Buren, Jen? I'm trying to pull stuff out of you. Come on. Tell me something.
It's nice on our days off and it's rainy. It's nice on our days that we work and it's rainy when we're off.
Do you work during the day or at night?
Right now I'm a swing shifter, so it's...
Oh, that's... Do you like that?
I like it when I don't have to move.
Because I hated that swing shift.
I'd like to have the same hours, but...
What would you rather work, mornings or nights?
My desired shift is 2P to 2A.
Really?
Because it's the busiest time.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that.
There's not a lot of downtime, and I don't like the downtime. I like mm-hmm. to have... I like to be busy.
Get to take, like, a book in or something to read when there's downtime? Or?
Yeah. But I don't like to do that. I like to be available, but there's not a ton of downtime during the 2-to-2 shift. So
damn.
Right.
But there's not a lot of time either to do anything throughout the day.
Well,
depending on what time you wake up, I guess.
Right, because, I mean, sometimes I'm working 11 a.m. to 11 p., so I have to go in earlier, which means that as soon as I get up, I get showered or I work out and then get showered and then go into work, and there's not any time to do anything beforehand, so... You get groceries the next day, or you get them at 11 o'clock at night, you know?
Jeez.
So pretty much on 12s, you live for your days off anyway.
Right. Oh,
so.
Yeah.
Lately, they've been rainy, so.
And then do you get like an every other weekend off, or?
Yeah, every other Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, sweet. Yeah, so that's kind of like us. We did it like that as well.
So you guys had that weird rotation and that
4-hour shift.
That 4-hour day
that's
crap. What is that?
4-hour shift is bullshit.
Let's see. Why don't you work 2A to 7A next week?
it was really
that's
crazy. Yes, it was 3-12s on that weird gist. 4.
Bite me.
Well, when I worked in Florida.
Affected the drive time.
When I worked in Florida, we did, like I said earlier, it was 8-hour shifts. But for the first 2 weeks, it was 6A to 2P. The next 2 weeks, it was 2P to 10P.
Oh.
And then the following was 10P to 6A. And then I think we had to do nights twice in a row. So like 4 weeks, and then it would switch again. That sucked too.
Yeah. So we've not done that at Van Buren. It's always been either eights.
And was that
Mike
the wheel where
tens.
Like 1 week you had Monday, Tuesday off, the next week you had Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yes.
And then Wednesday, Thursday,
like
then you got like a 3-day weekend every fifth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And when I
so we did that in South Haven when I started there.
Right. I really like that.
Yeah, our schedule now is the best.
1 week we worked just Wednesday, Thursday. The next week, Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Well, the way I
really?
Explain to my family is 1 week we work Wednesday, Thursday. The next week we only have off Wednesday, Thursday.
Huh.
Yeah, it's a great schedule.
So I mean, it sounds
when you're
good.
There, you're there.
Right.
But when you're off, you know, it's wonderful.
And if somebody calls you from work, do you pick up your phone?
We have
the three of us do.
Yeah, we do. There are some who don't.
Right here's who covers the call-ins.
We have a policy that says you must answer your phone You must have a phone on you that you can answer.
Oh, no shit. See, we didn't have a policy like that.
That don't. And they or they have their caller ID and they see it and they don't answer right. Or they've lost it for the day.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. There must be something behind that.
Oh, why are you reading into what I'm saying?
I don't know. The fist bumps are kind of obvious. Well, then I'm going to sound like a jerk then because I never answered my phone.
Mm-mm. So, yeah, if it's work, I'll answer. Uh-huh. But when I'm not working, I don't want to talk on the phone at all unless I absolutely have
right.
to.
See, but, and also our bosses also told us too, if you don't want to get forced in, don't answer your phone. I'm like, oh. What?
Yeah, the thing with okay. us though, I mean, there's limited options because there's only 13 of us total. Mm-hmm. Half of them are on the other squad. So they're the ones that are calling in sick. They're already working. So our squad is six people and depends on the day.
You have six on at a time?
No.
Okay.
Each squad has six three people.
Oh, okay. So I got
two days, two like, nights, damn. And two floats.
I didn't know that there was that many yeah. at a time.
No.
I said, you guys are like Kalamazoo then. That was a lot of people on.
The other squads.
Who calls in. If yeah. it's a night shift that calls in and it's the last day they work, the day shift on our squad, they can't take it.
Because we work at 6 a.m.
So then it only can right. fall to people who work nights on the opposite shift or one of the two floats.
Crazy.
And our director has made it clear, which is fair, is if it doesn't get covered, if there's an issue, then we just don't work that 12-hour shift anymore. And we love it, don't want to lose it. So you suck it up and do what you got to do.
Right. Yeah, so if nobody called in.
We have minimal calling, though. You guys are crazy calling and calling off and stuff like that for a while there.
Yeah. You know, yeah, for a while there, there was a lot of people calling and stuff, and it sucked.
And you're short. And so we don't have too often. Where we have to cover a shift. So.
See, I got smart. I would volunteer for it, and because I would, even if I was down at the bottom, I would still volunteer for it. Because if you volunteer for it, you get to choose which shift you want. Right. And if I'm working 4:30 to 4:30, you bet your ass I'm going to be taking that first one, uh-huh. so I can get out at 9 and just work 16 hours straight.
Yeah,
and then go home and sleep, and then come back for the shift again.
Well, and the motivation to not call in sick is at the end of the year. You can cash out your sick time.
Bet your
ass that then come January, I'm going to get 56 hours of sick time as a bonus check.
What? We never got that shit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why everybody always called and didn't care because we didn't get that.
We can cash it out.
So for those of us who don't ever call in sick, we get a big bonus.
I haven't called in sick in probably 8 years at least.
Dang.
I've been there for almost 5 years and I've only called in twice.
Dang. See, and that was the thing too. Even if I was... Okay, I'll give you a story. I had an abscess tooth on my right side, and I had to go get a root canal. And I had called in to dispatch, and I said, I'm going to go do this right now. I'm going to be late, but I'm gonna make it in as soon as I can. And they did what they had to do and stuff. I go into dispatch. And instead of sitting me on lean, where I'm not going to be talking that much, ooh, that stuff's coming out. they ended up, they put me on phones. So my mouth was still kind of swollen and numb, and I'm answering phones. But I didn't call in because there was no reason for me to call in, unless I was like dying or something. And even then, because I'd like to work a lot, I would have come in. So, and I, like
there
you,
really
there was only a couple times that I called
really
in.
There isn't a position in our job that you don't do a lot of talking, so.
Right. Well, on lean, because there was four of us,
oh,
so.
We have a lean desk?
Yeah, we have an actual lean desk, so.
It just does lean.
But, well.
What a concept.
It does lean, however, it's backup for main radios and right. phones. So
it's the grunt shift, right?
It is, yeah. But that was the most fun spot. Yeah. I loved that spot because when it was hopping, that was the spot to be at. Man, it was a lot of fun. But so I'm there, and it's just like official. This is Ricardo, and they're like, "What is wrong with you, dude?" And it's like, "I got a fucking root canal, and nobody can understand me." He's sucking up my drool and shit. Yeah, they're like, why did they put you there? I'm like, your guess is as good as mine, man. So for two straight hours, I'm taking phone calls and 911 calls.
Nice.
And yeah, I played a few of them.
They were probably
back.
Entertained. That's why they put you there.
Probably, man. Yeah, it's just me slurping as, yep. I squashed those domestics because they were too busy laughing at me.
Yeah, there you go.
I had one person tell me, do you need to take a drink of water? Oh. I was talking to them on the phone because I was coughing too much.
You know, there was four of us working, I believe. And one of my coworkers was like kind of spinning on his chair while taking a phone call. And I stood up and I looked over and I said, what the hell are you doing? And he's like kind of waves at me and like, I'm all right, you know, I'll be all right. And his chair spun face first. He went down and then he jumps back up and he goes, I got to put you on hold for just one moment. I got another call coming in.
Did he have pink on?
No, he did not have pink
on. Pink. Okay.
No pink. No.
That narrows it down.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. No, there was no pink on, but it was pretty funny. I was like, dude, I don't know. What are you thinking, man? And I said, I'm going to make sure to tell your supervisor to do QA on this one. He's like, man, why you got to do that? I was like, well, don't be stupid. I was like, you're on the phone with somebody. It's a 911 call and you're messing around in your chair and you just went face first, which was hilarious. I enjoyed it.
Right.
But
it's karma.
Yeah, exactly. And he had the headset on, but it was wired in. It wasn't wireless. So you've got this umbilical cord. And for whatever reason, if you pulled it out and it was like halfway, it would key up automatically.
Oof.
But this time it went all the way out. And I was telling him that. He goes, oh, I didn't even think about that. But no, it was the same thing with him and another guy that worked there who used to work with you guys. And they were talking about different types of whiskey and bourbon, and it was an open mic. And they had been going for the longest time, and I think I was doing like QAs or something, and I came out and they were just laughing and laughing. And I was like, what happened? They're like, we were having this conversation and we were on an open mic for I don't know how many minutes, but they said it was a long time. Because then somebody else keyed up afterwards and said, I like that too, or some stupid shit.
Yeah, open mic will get you. We had one years ago. We were still in the old dispatch center. And it was a busy afternoon. And somebody had called in and was talking to one of the dispatchers and asked how the day was. And in the heat of the moment, she kicked the floor pedal as she said, we're so busy, it's like humping the dog. And the phones lit up.
Yes. Oh, man, that's the best. So, okay, so there's another one, too. His name is Kip.
Hey, I love, we weren't using names.
Love that dude.
Yes.
Well, I worked with them. Well, you guys worked with them, but he'll appreciate it. Maybe. So my homeboy Kip, he was on radios and he was giving out the information. And the names was only for a story of a caller.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But if you feel like you shouldn't use a name for a coworker, then don't. But this one is good. Kip
like
won't care.
Yeah. Trouble,
exactly. Right? Yeah. And he didn't get in trouble. It was funny as hell because I was standing there when he did, and I thought it was hilarious. But they had taken a call, and I think it was a domestic, but just verbal. There was no physical, nothing. And he gives it out over the radio, and without thinking, he says, caller advised his wife is giving him shit. And then he unkeyed, and I stood there, and I was like, dude, did you just say that? And he's like, what? And the officers keyed up, and they said, what is she doing? and he says, she's bothering him. She's bothering him. But what was the other part? She's, I'm sorry. It's been a really long day. He says over the radio. Oh man, it was hilarious. But
nice.
Dude, I used to have a lot of fun on the radio. It was a good time. Like, I started doing the meow thing.
Yes.
From Super Troopers.
Me too.
Yeah. That was so fun.
Yeah.
When I first did it, nobody caught it. So I was kind of pissed. I was like, that sucked. So, but then I started doing it more. And then, you know, the officers got in on it too. And then we got into a little bit of trouble because there was a supervisor in dispatch who really didn't dig it and kind of narked us out. But we still played more games. The officers ended up doing their own thing. When they would call out colors for different cars, like they would go deep in it. Like they would say pearl white or burnt orange. they were always, you know, saying a bunch of different stuff, or we would just do a sniff on the radio.
Right.
It was a lot of fun, man. When it's like 3 a.m. and there's nothing going on, I would just key up and call somebody on the radio just for a status check for no reason and hope that they would do something funny. Or if they gave a certain name, like Crowley. I remember one of the deputies went to Lean, and I was on Lean, and they spelled out Crowley. And I said, did you advise Mr. Crowley? And he goes, that's affirmative central, as in Ozzy. Because Mr. Crowley, that's a sign right, that he did. Right, yep. So every time a name would come up or something like that, we would have to make cracks or do something on the radio just to see if somebody would catch it.
And you got to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have those light moments when you're having a bad day. And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun. I enjoyed it, especially when the National Weather Service would send out their, their flood watch or tornado watch or whatever. But I would only do it if it was like a severe thunderstorm or something. I would key up and I would go into like weatherman voice, and then I would do it all. And I remember one of the officers sent me a message on the MCT and said, "You're such an asshole." I was like, what, man? I was like, I figured it was a perfect opportunity. There wasn't a lot going on, so I just say it that way.
Right. Nice. Yeah, it's fun when they give you a name and they don't hear you and you use some obscure reference, you know. Like, I've used actors and fictional characters' names, you know, Brown, like as in the, you know, the football team, you know. But it's got to be subtle.
Right. Yeah, they always like using, you know, brown, as in the color. I'm like, okay. And I actually had a deputy once who was calling up on Lean for a name. And he always spells everything out phonetically, except for whatever reason this one time. He said, last of Rodriguez, first of Jose. And I'm waiting for a phonetic or something, because Rodriguez can be spelled with a Z or an S.
Right.
And I'm waiting, and he didn't say anything. And I said, 10-4. And I sent him a message on MCT right away. And I said, did you not spell that name because I'm Mexican? And you figured that I would know. And he sends a message back right away, like the fastest I've ever gotten a message from him. And he goes, no, man, I'm sorry. That's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. He goes, I wasn't thinking. He goes, there's other people out here. So I just threw out the name and I just typed back an LOL. It's like, I'm just messing with you, man. Right. I'm just playing. It's like, don't freak out.
I had a new guy one time who had obviously no grasp of the Hispanic pronunciations. Uh-huh. Does a file check on Jesus, but says Jesus.
Yeah.
And then spells it out phonetically. I come back, Jesus is nil. And I get phones lit up. I can't believe you said that.
Oh, man, dude. That's good. See, those are some of the things that I miss from being in dispatch. I don't miss the hours and not seeing my family. Well, I do a lot of traveling now too, so I don't get to see them as, you know, a lot. But I mean, I see them more now than I did when I was in dispatch, because there was a point during that time that I was talking about earlier when we were, you know, understaffed really bad. We were like roommates, and I lived on the north side of Holland, so I would get forced in. And there was one time that I drove all the way home. By the time I got there, there wasn't that much time to sleep. And then I get up and my wife goes, so you got to go back to work? I said, yeah. And she goes, okay, see you, friend, husband. I'm like, yeah, I'll see you later. But because I lived on the north side of Holland, I started sleeping at the dispatch center. Which sucked, because if you stay the night at the dispatch center,
yeah, no way,
you can get forced in as well. You're which a target. I learned, I was definitely a target. I learned the hard way. I had stayed the night once because I got out at 1 a.m, but I was supposed to go to court for a domestic hearing because I was a witness. So they were going to call me up on the stand and stuff. But they said, we're not exactly sure if we're going to call you up after all. And they said, so just kind of hang out around town. I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to stay the night in dispatch. So I did. And it was like 8:30 and I was getting ready to go over there because it was going to be at 9. And instead, the assistant director comes in and says, so-and-so called off. You're here. And you're kind of close to the top of the force enlist. I was like, are you freaking kidding me, man? I was like, are you serious right now? And I said, you're just playing, right? I was like, oh, you were just joking. She goes, no, I'm serious. Like, son of a bitch. I'm like, okay. Just grit my teeth and smile. He's like, it's double time and a half. I was like, I know, but I could care less about the money right now.
Right.
Like, I just want to go home and sleep for one and spend time with my family. So, yeah, it sucked.
We had a bad snowstorm going once, and I drove from South Haven at that time to Pawpaw for work, and the director offered to bring in mattresses so we could stay there if we wanted so that we didn't have to drive back. And I'm like, I would rather sleep in the car in the ditch on the side of way, on the side of the road on the way home than sleep in this building. Not happening. No way.
Do you guys have a quiet room there?
No.
No.
Okay, so we have a quiet room in Allegan, but it's not quiet.
Right.
I mean, the quiet room, you walk in, the door to go into the quiet room is on the other side of the door that's the entrance of dispatch. So you be able to hear everybody who walks in. There was one time that I stayed the night there, and I actually got some good sleep. The couch that was in there at the time was like the 70s type couch, the pull-out bed and stuff, and springs going in your back and shit. Oh, man, it sucked. But I actually somehow was starting to fall asleep. Like, I could feel myself falling asleep. I was like, oh, this is going to be a good sleep. And then I hear people arguing, and the door opens, and the person that was there to clean in the morning, she was arguing with her boss. And they walk in, and I sit up, and they're like, oh, my God, we're so sorry. I was like, get the hell out. I was like, I'm trying to sleep. I'm like, well, crap, what am I going to do now? I was like, I couldn't go back to sleep. Like, might as well go take a shit or something. I don't know.
Right?
Oh, man. But they went before I got out of there. Not that it was bad, Allegan, if you're listening. I didn't mean for it to sound like that. Once I got out of there.
Right. I'm free.
Yeah. Right, exactly. When I made my switch and stuff, they had gotten a lot better, like, couches and everything in that quiet room. And I think they even soundproofed it, so it got a little better. But, so you guys have been here for, let's see, these first couple days and everything. What are some of the classes that you guys attended? Wait a minute. I don't think I did attend. I think I've been in
there. There was a railroad awareness class earlier today. It was interesting.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was pretty good. 2 hours.
What all did they talk about?
They talked about the railroad.
Did you learn about Thomas the Train?
They talked about the railroad.
Oh.
Casey Jones.
Ah.
No, it was basically, you know, the resources to get a hold of them if there's an emergency. Talked a little bit about the placards.
Excellent and Grateful the labeling. Dead reference, by the way.
Yes, thank you.
I dig it.
But it was, going in, I thought, this might be dry, but it wasn't. It was pretty informative, you know.
So they tell you about, like, the numbers on the poles and everything and how to look that stuff up and everything?
Each crossing has a DOT sign now, and, you know, they know exactly where. And they actually have some pretty cool GIS overlays that they can map and know right where the trains are. Trains are all satellite, you know, tracked and everything.
No shit.
It's pretty cool.
You know, there was a call that I took once. I had to do with two different train companies, I guess, train whatever you would call them. I won't say their names, but we'd gotten a call from somebody that said that there was a train had
Ricardo's empty is what she's telling you.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
I was like, I was gonna say, I got one right here.
Jennifer's empty, that's what she's saying.
Sorry, yeah, she's empty. There you go. Now you're not. So we'd gotten a call from one of the train companies saying, we just pulled up to what we believe is a body on the tracks.
Yeah.
And we're like, okay. I'm like, well, can you check? Are you able to check or whatever? And they stopped, and it was there was a body there, half and half on either side of the tracks.
Nice.
And what ended up happening was that the first train company that went through there sliced this dude in half and kept going. They never knew. And the second one comes through and sees pieces on either side, and they're like, okay, right, we got to call this in. But he wasn't, he was actually already dead. This person, a family member had called and said, I can't find, you know, my dad. I don't know where he's at and stuff. And it turned out that he had shot himself in the head with a shotgun.
Wow.
And landed on the tracks. Nice. And then a train came through and sliced him in half. It's like, what the hell?
Just in case the,
he was making sure to get it done.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. My first night in Allegan, it was a midnight shift. It was a 4-hour shift, actually. And I was sitting with my trainer, and she takes this phone call, and I'm on the umbilical cord listening. And there's a guy who said that he pulled up to what he thought was an animal, like, struggling on the side of the road. And it was a guy who was crawling, and his jaw was hanging off. The dude tried to shoot himself in the head with a shotgun and slipped.
Oof.
And his jaw was just hanging off. And when I sat there and I heard that, I thought, I made the right move. I'm in the right industry.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
As creepy as that sounds. Uh-huh. Yeah, so exactly. Yeah, they were trying to make sure that he did it. He didn't end up like the one guy with the half jaw looking like Skeletor or something.
On the other end of that and had to clean it up.
Oh, geez. Have you ever had to do that?
No.
Oh, the way you made it sound.
Well, I'm just saying. There's other people that...
Yeah, see, we have high-speed Amtrak and CSX on two separate lines in our county. So we have train incidents frequently.
Oh, wow.
You know, and there was one here not too long ago in the east side of the county, mm-hmm, where a guy committed suicide, you know, just walked out to the edge of the track, put his head on the rail, and then the train, waited for the train to come by.
What the
took
hell?
His head off.
Dude, that's commitment.
Yeah.
Right.
To wait.
Exactly.
I don't think it was their line. I think didn't he wait by the over the...
Yeah, he was under... There's an overpass, and uh-huh, he was underneath waiting, and he must have been doing studies, and when the trains came through, because he just walked out, laid down, and it
what
was done.
What the hell?
And that Amtrak through there is like 110 miles an hour at that
high
section.
High-speed rail.
Yeah. So then there was no feeling. It was instant. No.
And then a year or so ago, same area, uh-huh, guy went up on the tracks, walked down from the crossing, and just knelt on the tracks and waited.
You know. What the hell?
Yeah.
I can't imagine, man.
It's one, we had one same area. It's pretty cool to see the train going by at 110 miles an hour,
right,
fly.
Right.
So this guy had his kids there to watch the train go by. And some dude walks up and does that right there with the
right
kids watching.
Oh, my God.
They saw parts going.
That's horrible.
Yeah.
The family was sitting there watching the train go by.
Jeez. I can't imagine, you know, the kids being all happy and shit. Right. Like, look at the train. I can't imagine being there with my kids and stuff and then
right,
them seeing that there.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is going on in your county?
Yeah.
Not the best field
trains.
Trip that
right,
day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have trains in our county.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's like a horror movie. The trains are the villain. They're the monsters.
Yeah. On the other side of that, you know, talking about being hardened, we had a BOL last week from a neighboring county, mm-hmm, for a person that was suicidal and was on the freeway and was going to hit a deer or a semi.
What?
And I thought, yeah, what the hell? The deer's
better
not going to kill
that a little
you.
Bit more.
Yeah, I'm going to make sure that deer has some huge antlers.
Right.
And I'm going to hit it sideways so that the antlers go through the glass and get me in the neck.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
There was a call that I took once where there was this lady. She's screaming and screaming on the phone. She's like, I hit it. There's pieces everywhere. And I was like, you hit what? And she goes, I hit him. I was like, who did you hit? And I'm trying to get this out of her, and I thought it was a person
right,
that she hit. She's in a like 4-door sedan, and what she actually did was she drove straight through a freaking horse.
Ooh.
And she hit that bitch hard enough that it split in half.
Oh, nice.
And everything was everywhere. It was nuts. When I finally got all that out of her, I mean, it was a huge sigh of relief. Yeah, poor
right,
horse. I'm sorry for whoever's listening who loves horses, but damn. Better a horse than a person, I guess.
My dad hit a horse once.
Yeah?
Yep. So I bought him one of those deer whistlers that you put on the front of your car. He was out in Wyoming. I mean, it was just kind of fun.
Well, were there pieces everywhere?
Right, exactly.
No, was it all over the place?
Die.
No?
No.
He just got up and was like, F that, and just took off.
He hit it in the ass, and it just kept on going.
Well, they got big old booties.
Well, in a couple months back, we had a BOL. There was a sheep on the freeway. And we had several cars on the freeway trying to corral this sheep.
What?
And it carried on and carried on. So finally, one of the sergeants said, enough's enough.
Oh,
and
damn.
And dispatched the sheep. Not long after that, this farmer calls in, I'm missing a sheep. You seen a sheep?
Like, we can sell you some wool. Oh, man.
We could write books.
Hell yeah, man.
You know, we could write books with the stories.
Damn right, because there's so many of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and that one call with the horse, EMS called up afterwards, because, I mean, like I said, in the beginning, we thought it was a person. So right. We sent everybody out, license right. sirens for like a PI, you know, car, vehicle versus person and stuff. And they call up for their times and numbers. I was like, dude, you got to tell me. I was like, so how was it? And he goes, it was amazing. It was so crazy.
Right.
And I said, well, how damaged was the car? And he goes, it wasn't that damaged. And I thought, she had to have been going really fast to hit that horse direct in the middle and split it in half.
Right.
And not have anything happen to that little car. Mm. Well, not nothing. I mean, there was some damage, but right. not as much as I would have thought that a right. big-ass horse like that would do to right. a little car.
Right.
You'd think the
right.
horse would win.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And then walk off like right. like with your pops.
People can roll cars and not damage them at all.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, and not in this
until they don't shut them off.
Mr. Red died in this one.
Yeah.
There was no reruns for this one. He was gone. Oh man. Well, on that note, that's going to be we're going to go into the wrap up of this episode. Thank you very much, all three of you, for being on the episode. Especially you. I got your laugh on here now, so yes.
It's not my best material.
So for those listening, if you have any questions or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email the show, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That's @911podcast. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. And this episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on the jabberlug.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and SoundCloud. And Google Play Music. There's so many of them.
Wow.
Anything else? Are you sure?
There might be. On your phone, if you put it on there.
There you go.
Have a good one, everybody.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.